from you, faithful, raise the strain of triumphant gladness. God has brought his Israel into joy from sadness, loosed from Pharaoh's bitter yoke, Jacob's sons and daughters. Let them with unmoistened foot through the Red Sea waters. 'Tis the spring of souls today. Christ has burst his prison, and from 3 days' sleep in death, as a sun has risen. Light to whom is given land and praise undying. Now the queen of seasons bright with the day of splendor, with the royal feast of feasts comes its joy to strain Jesus' resurrection. For today among his own, Christ appeared bestowing his deep peace, which evermore passes human knowing. Nor the watchers, nor the seal, hold him as a mortal. Alleluia, now we cry to our King immortal, who triumphant burst the bars of the tomb's dark portal. Come, you faithful, raise the strain of triumphant gladness. God has brought his Israel into joy from sadness.
The congregation is invited to stand. We continue with the confession. With confession, absolution, printed in the bulletin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake he forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, O my soul.
I will praise the Lord as long as I live.
I will sing praises to my God while I have my being.
Put not your trust in princes.
In a son of man, in whom there is no salvation.
When his breath departs, he returns to the earth.
On that very day, his plans perish.
Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob.
Whose hope is in the Lord his God.
Who made heaven and earth.
The sea and all that is in them. His faith forever.
Who executes justice for the oppressed.
Who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free.
The Lord opens the eyes of the blind.
The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous.
The Lord watches over the sojourners.
He upholds the widow and the fatherless, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin.
The Lord will reign forever.
Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen. This is the feast of victory for us.
Christ the Lamb who was slain, whose blood
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you make the minds of your faithful to be of one will. Grant that we may love what you have commanded and desire what you promise, that among the many changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joys are found. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Congregation may be seated. The first reading is from Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 9, and then chapter 7, verse 2, and verses 51 through 60. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and of the Syrians and of the Alexandrians, and of those from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. And Stephen said, "Brothers and fathers, hear me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered, and who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it." Now when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The choir can come forwards for the choir anthem. Thank you. epistle reading is from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Peter writes, "So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, 'Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame.' So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand and sing the Alleluia in verse.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter.
To you, Lord.
Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe an account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made,
being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The congregation may be seated.
Lord Jesus Christ, the church's head, shall endure through all the world decay and all things pass away. Oh, hear, oh, hear us, Jesus. Oh, Lord, let this your little flock, your
steadfastness.
The sermon this morning reflects on really all three readings that we have had from Acts and 1 Peter and John. I reread from John chapter 14. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There are so many parts of the Christian faith that resonate and are empowered by the resurrection of Christ and by the hope and the knowledge and the certainty that he lives and that we have life forever and that he will come again one day to take us home. This is something that is part of our daily focus. Thinking about this gift of God's life, it changes our thinking. And it changes our realities from being a non-Christian without faith to a Christian with faith. Reality is changed. For when we are a Christian, we know that we're not living just for today or tomorrow or the next years, but we are living every day for eternity. It's not going to end. We have a creator. We have a redeemer for whom we live, for whom every day counts. And also, faith in God's life given to us in Christ changes our certainties. Everything, if you're filling out the little blanks on the sermon notes, everything in this temporary world is temporary. Tough. Everything in this temporary world is temporary. When we were missionaries in Ghana from 1993 to 1998, we went to be partners with another missionary family, Tim Heine and Beth and their family, who had already been there for nearly 10 years. And their work was growing so much that they needed help. One family had gone before us and not been able to stay, so we were the second family to go and help them. Well, the order of way things go among people and societies and God's ordering, we were there together for not even a year, quite a year, and there came a tribal conflict. And so because of that tribal conflict in the area, Tim and Beth were not able to stay longer. And that's many details and stories. But the upshot of it was that Deb and I and the children were there in the area, along with some volunteer missionaries and some other Missouri Synod missionaries further up the road. But I became in charge of Tim Heine's house, his mission house. And that is a struggle because things happen. You all know things happen to a house when somebody's not living in it. Like the bats can come and get up into the crevices in the between the roof and the ceiling. And those African bees can come and they can start filling up parts of that empty house, that building. So that I was dealing with the bats because we wanted the house to be useful one day for somebody. So we're dealing with the bats. Not to go into details, but bats make the house kind of sour. And then I get a report, Pastor, the bees in the Heine house are attacking the women going to market. Do you remember that? Oh. So put together a couple poisons and do what you can. I called it our Chinese house because it was sweet and sour. But that experience, and others as well, came to a little saying that my wife and I had: if you don't keep at it, the bush will always go back to being the bush. Here, the swamp will always go back to being the swamp. If you don't keep at it. If you don't keep at it. Things, the order that we try to have in our lives is temporary, because the things in this life are temporary. In fact, we know of that law, second law of thermodynamics. Things that are order tend to disorder. Things with energy tend to go back to lack of energy, or actually equalizing entropy. And so if the surrounding area is naturally bush, you're going to have to keep at it if you want the bush to stay away. If the surrounding area is swampy and growth, and you want orderly fields, you're going to have to keep at it to keep orderly fields, because if you don't, it's just going to come back. That's the way this life is. So when we look at that and we see the challenges that we have, we say, well, death just comes. Disorder just comes. That is the nature of this life. That's true, and that is a rule, a law of physics. But Jesus, the Creator and Redeemer, comes into our lives and puts His power and His change, His life, into our lives. And then that changes. That changes our reality, that changes the certainty, because we know He is going to be with us every day, and He is going to take us to heaven one day. We know that He is going to come and judge all things. We know that He will take His people and resurrect their bodies and live with Him forever. That's a certainty. And that changes the way we think and approach things as Christians. God's love and His order, restores everything in our lives. Now, His love is with us full blast. And His order, His promise, is always working on us. And we see the disorderliness in our life or our faith at times. But we know that God is all-powerful and His all promises are dependable. So His order will take form, and one day we will see His order in His full glory and brightness, and we will be a part of it in heaven. The question for we Christians and hearing the gospel is not whether there's going to be life or orderliness or God's promises fulfilled, but that do we believe it? Will we receive His orderliness, His life? And you can look at almost any passage in Scripture and see the disorder and sin and death versus the order that God wants to bring, and life and forgiveness and His grace. In the John passage, John chapter 14, when Jesus says that He is going to prepare rooms for us in His Father's house, are those temporary rooms? Are those rooms going to be destroyed by rot or mold? Are those rooms going to be infested by African bees so that we have to throw poison all over them and they just come back again anyhow? No. It is a permanent good thing, full of grace. It's an eternal home, not a temporary home. And it's a gift. He's building the rooms. He's preparing the rooms. It's His Father's mansion. It doesn't depend on what we can do or not do. Not depend on the power of our poison or how good our paint is or how good our tools are or whether we can work on something. All these details that we have now in this life He's taking care of this, and it will be eternal and permanent. Certainty, reality that we have in our minds and we understand. Peter said in that reading from 1 Peter chapter 2, "You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Is that a temporary spiritual house? Just think about that for a moment. Is God's church temporary? It can't be. God's building it. It has to be permanent, eternal. And there we know that he's talking about the people. We do the best with our buildings, but it's God's people who are eternal. And he is building those up into a spiritual house for him, a holy priesthood, all believers, a holy priesthood. And he talks about spiritual sacrifices, that we are doing these acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And you could think of many details of that, but really we can summarize it just as Jesus summarized it. What are the two commandments? The two things God's people should be doing. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's our spiritual sacrifices. And there's many details of that. But that's what God's people do. And it's not just for today and tomorrow, it's for eternity, because we are God's people for eternity. The stoning of Stephen, his death, as what we read today from Acts, is just an amazing account, because it's the temporary of this earth is open to the eternal. And it's revealed to Stephen as revealed to the people around him. Stephen's chosen to do what? One of the seven deacons who's supposed to take care of the widows. By the way, the Hellenists were the non-Jewish widows, and the Hebrews were the Jewish widows, all in the church, and they weren't giving even distribution, and there were complaints. Gee, complaints in the early church. And the disciples said, we can't keep solving this problem. Appoint seven men who will watch over the daily distribution, so everybody gets a part. And Stephen is one of those guys. He is in charge of daily food and distributions and help within the church. Something daily, and yet Stephen knew his job was not just these daily tasks, but they touched on the eternal. And so he preached and taught, and there's a whole section there we didn't read from Acts, his long sermon. But he came to the point where he told the Jews, all these things that God had done and the promises he had made in the Old Testament, he has fulfilled in his Son, Jesus Christ, and you betrayed and murdered him. Then God allows Stephen to see Jesus standing at the right hand of God the Father, and he bears witness to it, that eternal great thing. He bears witness to the temporary situation. Stephen had both things in mind. He sees the eternal, and the temporary he witnesses to those around him. And they stoned him. And then what does he do? He says, "Receive my spirit, Jesus." And then he says, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." He forgave them as they stoned him. He was thinking about their eternity. As he's dying and knows that there's a place for him in heaven and knows Jesus will receive his spirit, he says, "And Jesus, don't hold this thing against them. Let this sin be gone, forgiven. This is temporary. You've forgiven this. Let them come to faith. Let something else happen. Forgive them." And there he sees, Stephen says, in the sake and in the whole view of the eternal, even my enemies are to be loved, which Jesus taught, love your enemies. And he wants his enemies to be saved. He wants him to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, not as a judge, but as Lord and Savior. And he prays for that. So even as his daily, he's dying, this world is passing for him, he goes into heaven, there is the eternal. There's many other things we could look at just in these three passages. But we see that in each of these cases, the scriptures, God's word, calls us to view our daily life in the realm of eternal. Yes, we have daily responsibilities of which we should do. But these are not separate from eternity. We won't need to paint in heaven unless you really, really, really like to paint. Maybe God will give you something to paint. We won't need to struggle with tiresome things or illness or evil. Those will be gone. But as we do that here and work through those things now, we know that I'm in heaven. I'm going to heaven. My place is reserved. My room is prepared. So I'm working through these things now. I'm even suffering through these things now because I'm in heaven. My place is there. And that's different for Christians than for the rest of the world. The rest of the world cannot, without the Holy Spirit, you cannot realize that or understand that. And you do not understand that it is a free gift. That heaven and the forgiveness and life everlasting is this free gift. So this life that Jesus gives us, he gives us as a foundation on which to walk daily, every day that we have. And whether we're older and have had many days or just younger and many days ahead of us, Lord willing, he calls us to trust in him and to walk in faith. Faith that we have life everlasting. Faith that we have a home in heaven. We pray. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for dying and rising for me. Continue to send your Holy Spirit into our lives so that we understand and believe the certainty that we have of heaven, the certainty that we have of your grace and your power in our lives with so many temporary problems. But these are temporary, and you are eternal. And we ask you to not only give us grace to live in these blessings from you, but also to acknowledge them and to praise you for them and to tell others that they need you. They need your grace and power in their lives so that they know they can have a foundation of heaven too. All these things, Lord Jesus, we bring to you, along and honoring both you and the Father and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We stand and sing the offertory.
What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving.
We pray the prayer of Zion Lutheran Church. It's printed in the bulletin. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all his adopted children in Christ, that they would long for the pure spiritual milk of the Word, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the royal priesthood of believers, that they would offer spiritual sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving acceptable to God, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all pastors and church workers and those preparing for church work vocations, that we may be supplied with faithful leaders and servants of his word, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the households of God's people, that begotten in holy baptism, we may grow in his grace and share together in his forgiveness and life, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For spring weather that is a blessing to all farming activities, for safety for all workers and their employment, for full employment for the underemployed, for God-pleasing endeavors in education and the arts, for God's blessing on all working in emergency and rescue services, for wisdom and success in all health care work, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For good government, for our President, the Congress of the United States, the Supreme Court, our Governor, for all local government officials and all civil servants, and for all in military service and law enforcement, that all may honor the Holy God, establishing order and justice, encouraging virtue and protecting all life, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick, the sorrowing, the anxious, the fearful, the homebound, the homeless, the dying, and all who have requested our prayers, we remember Margaret and Charlotte, Bernetta, Bill, Gary, Bryston, Brad, Don, James, Joe, Kim, Andrew, Mary Ellen, Mary, Sue and Steve, Brandy and Maverick, Heather, Gary, Mark, Helen, Michael, Ray, Ezekiel, the Rodriguez family, Charles, Sandy, Jeanette, Pastor Shiwi, and we remember the family of Rick Hamblin and the family of Don McDougall. That for the sake of Christ's restoring cross, God would grant them healing, comfort, and entrance into his heavenly kingdom, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who eat and drink the crucified and risen body and blood of our Lord, that they would taste that he is good and continually grow up into his salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
In thanksgiving for Stephen, whom Christ has received into glory, and for faith and love and imitation of the church's first martyr, that we may speak Christ's truth with boldness, forgive those who persecute us and fall asleep in Jesus. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Hear us, Heavenly Father, for the sake of Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, and most especially are we bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we loud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Amen.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us.
Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
You're invited to stand or sit for our closing hymn.
Church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought
grace endured. Though with a scornful wonder the world sees her oppressed by schisms rent asunder, by heresies distressed, yet saints their watch are keeping. Rest is one. Oh, blessed.